Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Man, glad to be back. Sorry, I was out of town last week. So every week is something, right, Chris? I know. It's always something. But I'm here. It's Monday. And this thing is going up. So welcome back to yet another episode of Negro Please Radio. As usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you for downloading, tuning in, streaming. However you listen, I appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you. I appreciate it as well. I guess I'll just jump right in. For those who don't know, I have a 8-year-old son. We have an 8-year-old son. His name was Miles. And I like to talk about the different things that he's going through. So I call him a milestone. Nothing big this week, man. I'm just proud of him, man. I'm proud of him. It's the parenting. It's a long ass journey. And I feel like every day, I almost feel like it's one of those like MMOs. Is it an MMO? Massive multiplayer online. It's a role playing game, man. And I'm building this little character from scratch, you know? And every day, it's just 0.1% of the quest of making him 100% self-reliant. And we had a big moment. He made his own breakfast. I was trying to figure out how I was going to say it. I almost said his own whole breakfast, which sounded weird. But yeah, he made his cereal and he put his own. It's just weird, man. He put his own sausage in the microwave, heated it up. I woke up to the smell of sausage. And I was like, what is going on here? And he's like, hey, I made my own breakfast. And I'm like, cool, man. So it's a little scary, but I'm glad that he's doing more and more on his own. He's excited. It's just so weird, man, how like when kids are young, you can like trick them into wanting to be responsible. But once they hit a certain age, it's like, this motherfucker is trying to get us to do some work. And I don't want to do that. But up until a certain age, man, it's just like you can really trick them into being independent, you know, being a big boy or a big girl or whatever you want to say. And after a while, it's just like, hey, can you do this for me? It's funny how human beings do that. But, I almost forgot. Tell your friend, enemy, coworker, tell somebody about my podcast, okay? I'm seeing a nice uptick. Please continue. If you're new, what's up? It's me. I only go for about 20 minutes. If you have any questions to ask, just email me, negropleaseradio@gmail.com, or just check out my live show I do every Tuesday, tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern time. He Got Answers. Check that shit out. Because it's really just me after a while just trying to find shit to talk about because no one asked me anything, but I'm staying the course. That's what they said. You got to stay the course. No matter how bad it gets every week, you got to be in there doing the show. And that's what I'm doing. But I digress. I'm proud of my boy. He's making his own breakfast. Now, if we can get him to make his own goddamn lunch, that would be even better. But he likes it. He likes being independent. It makes him feel good. It makes him feel older. And I think that's kind of what we've always been striving for is being older until you get to a certain age and you're like, I need to be younger. You know, you spend the first, what, probably 17 years. I mean, not 17. I would say 25 years wanting to be older. 25 because you want that low insurance. And after that, it's all downhill, baby. You want to be 18, then 21, then 25. And I think people wanted to stop there. But time waits for no man. But yeah, let me just jump in. I don't recall talking about my weekend in South Carolina with Mark Norman, but we had a great time. I spoke about Cleveland. I sold out of my shirts there. So I did not have any shirts to sell in Greenville, South Carolina. And it sucked. But at the same time, I got to be honest, man, the people there do not give a fuck about what's going on pandemic wise. It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. So many people don't wear masks. They don't socially distance. They do not give a shit. To them, it is January 2020. You know? before all this shit happened. They're just living life normal down there. So if you're like anti-COVID, you don't believe in COVID, move to Greenville, move somewhere in South Carolina. I'm pretty sure you'll enjoy it because they don't give a single fuck down there. But I had a good time. I was going to fly down, but I was like, ah, shit, it's only 6 hours. So I'm going to go ahead and drive. So I drove down on Thursday, picked up old Mark Norm from the airport. It's always great seeing him. It's always fun doing the back-to-back weekends because it's typically a few weeks in between weekends that we work together. But every once in a while, we'll get a back-to-back, and that's always fun. It's always fun getting a back-to-back. And Cleveland was so great. I was we were both like, I don't know how Greenville's going to be, man, because you really cannot top Cleveland, man. That is a room, a hotel, a staff, I mean, A's across the board. Love that club, love that town. And we got to follow it up with the old Greenville, South Carolina Comedy Zone. Didn't know what to expect. But I'll say this, it was a fun weekend. The club is absolutely fantastic. The only issue we had were hotel issues. And I talked about this on my Tuesday night show. But look, I get it. I'm an up-and-coming person. I am not owed anything, but I'm also a grown-ass man. I did 20 years in the military. I've done my fair share of shitty details, tasks. I've stayed in shitty places. And for me, that part of my life is fucking over. And they put us up in a suburban extended stay out near the mall. Now, the area itself wasn't too bad, but this was like a little... Have y'all seen New Jack City? Remember those towers they took over? That's what that shit was like, man. You get in... but I will say, upon arrival, we drive up, didn't look too bad. It's cool. We get in there to check in, and the dude's got his mask on his chin. He don't give a shit. There's two drug addict white women in there with baby fat jeans on and Jordans. They talking loud, tattoos fucking everywhere, hands, face, neck. One has the pitted face like she's on meth, teeth missing. And I was like, here we go. This is where we're staying. I've seen so many white dudes that look like Post Malone standing there, man, with tattoos all over their face, their hands. Goddamn right, I am stereotyping like a motherfucker right now. Yes, I am. It was just way too many people outside drinking beers and big-ass crowds. Too many people working on cars in the parking lot. And everybody looked like they were living out of their car. And it smelled bad. It looked like one of the scenes from Saw in the hotel room. I mean, it looked like somebody shot a load the size of Lake Michigan on that couch. And that's the side that they left up. So there's no telling what was on the other side of that goddamn cushion. If you left that side up, I don't even want to see what's on the other side. And there's no way you can't convince me that some white lady did not OD like Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction on that floor. I mean, frothy mouth and all. It was one of those hotel rooms where it's like, should I just keep my shoes on when I shower? You know, that spongy, the carpet felt spongy. Like there was this fungus growing underneath the carpet. It smelled terrible. The ceiling in the shower was falling apart. Come on, man. But I will say the bed was comfortable, but I was not comfortable. It just, you felt weird. Just laying in the bed, like, I just don't know if this shit is clean, man. I don't. And I don't like to complain, but man, it was bad. And basically, long story short, what happened was Norman mentioned it to the club manager. The manager said something to the owner. The owner got back to him. They got him a room, but not me because I'm a nobody. But Mark being the good egg that he is, we ended up getting a discount, and we moved downtown to the Home to Suites, and that changed the whole weekend. because Thursday night we had a great time, but going back to the hotel just really killed the mood because the club is in such a nice area. You know, it's good looking people, all these nice restaurants and shops and people having a good time with the families, people walking around. It's like, man, this is what I need. This is what I need. But going back there to like, man, to the basically like the projects, it was wild. It really killed the mood, man, for that first night. And when we changed rooms or changed hotels, it was a complete 180, and I felt so much better. I felt like I could relax in my room. I didn't feel like a goddamn prisoner. You know, I just didn't feel comfortable. I never felt clean. It just wasn't a comfortable space to be in, man. I'll say that. And you can say what you want about me, but I've done my fair share of the shitty hotels, man, and I'm over it. I'm absolutely over it unless I have to. And in this case, I did not have to. But the shows were great, man. We had a lot of fun. had a lot of fun, man. Guy Kyle, he's a comic and he works there. He was super cool. Hung out with this dude, Paul. He was cool. A lot of stories that went nowhere, man, but holy shit. He told one story. He was like, man, he was telling a story about Burt Kreischer. He goes, all right, I'll tell the story. He goes, because you have to have gone to the Charlotte Comedy Zone to know what he's talking about. But he goes, you know, little bar behind the Comedy Zone in Charlotte? We go, yeah. It's basically just a bar that the owner owns that's like next door to the club. He goes, yeah, we were at Little Bar and Burke walked in. He goes, yo, what's up, bitches? And we're sitting there waiting and waiting. And Mark was like, is that the story? That was a story. I was like, so what did he say? He was just like, no, I'm here, bitches. I was like, okay, see how whack that was? That's what he told us, man. That's what he had our undivided attention for. And that was just one of many. But it was a fun night. You could just tell he was a younger comic, nervous, and had to tell every story that he had ever known. I don't know. It was fun, but fuck it. It was brutal, but he was a good dude, man. But man, don't be Paul. Don't tell too many stories that don't go anywhere like I'm doing right now. Man, but he was a good dude. I had to say something, man, because that story was really bad. We kept calling it back like, oh, shit, something like that. That's what it was. He was like, Burt walked into the bar and was like, oh, shit. And that's where the story ended. So whenever we would have a lull in the conversation, we would just go, oh, shit. So that was fun. Fucking Paul and his goddamn stories. But man, I just talked to my mom. I guess she was saying that New York State is going back down a couple of phases. They're closing everything. Barbershops, all that shit's getting shut down again. No dining in. All that's done, son. And look, I was just talking to people about this on Facebook, which I'm really trying not to do. But I will ask this. At what point in time are we going to stop blaming governors? I get it. It's been politicized. It's the easy thing to do. Oh, DeWine sucks. This guy sucks. He's a fucking moron. Because you see the people with the mask. My governor's an idiot. It's like, okay. But here's the thing. At what point are we going to stop blaming the governors and start looking at people who don't wear masks, who don't socially distance, who don't believe that this thing is even real? When are we going to start looking at those people and go, hey, man, what are you doing? And look, people, I get it. I understand. And honestly, to a degree, I applaud people who are thinking about our freedoms. I appreciate those people. I appreciate those people going, hey, man, you know what? Fuck that. I don't want them telling me what to do. I get it, because it's like with the, I mentioned this before. It's like with the luggage fees, you know, like once all the gas prices came, they didn't stop doing that shit. I mean, this could go away and like, hey, maybe we should just wear masks. You know, people want power, left or right. People want fucking power. That's why they're in the government. They want power over people. I get that. I appreciate people who think about that kind of shit. Because someone has to, because if you don't, they will take things from you. That's why I'm not a big guy on giving police my information if they don't need it. Fuck that. If you ask me for my ID and I don't need to give it to you, I'm not giving it to you. I don't care if it makes your job easier if I do. It's not the fucking rule. It's not the law. I get it. So I mean, I do get it. I understand why people don't want to wear one, man. But I think everyone hates it. And I'm a big believer in like, let's get this shit done so we can move on type thing. And it's a tough call, man. It's a tough fucking call. But we do have to look at those people like, hey, man, can you at least wear the fucking mask in the store? It's like, you can't say that you're for the economy. We got to get people back to work and then come into people's places of business refusing to wear a mask or not wearing one at all. Because if you get their workers sick, the shit spreads in there. Now they got to close. Now no one's working. I just don't get it, man. It's just in any other case, they can always see where you know you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, do this, do that. You know, somebody argues with the cop or run away from a cop and they get beat or shot or tased or whatever it is. I mean, brutally in some cases, and they go, "Hey, those are the consequences. You should just pay attention. You should just listen to the rules." But when you do it, you don't wear a mask. You go around coughing, touching shit, hugging people, doing whatever. And the numbers spike. You want to act like you have no idea where the fuck this came from. Because now you're involved. Because you're one of these people. And again, I appreciate people who think about that kind of shit. I'm all about my freedom too, man. I don't want to wear a fucking mask. But I'm also like, I don't feel like getting yelled at or stared at by people in the stores. I don't want police stopping me because they can. And what's my course of action? I don't really have any. That's the thing about living in this society, man. This is I get we all have these freedoms. And the thing is, if you don't want to wear a mask, then you really can't complain about how long this shit takes. You really can't, man. Because it's like if we just continue to spread it, it's just going to go on for another year, a year after that. It's just like, hey, either you can exercise all your freedoms now and we can stay in this state of limbo of can we open, can we not open, shit at 25%, 30, 50, 70% capacity. We can keep doing this. Or if people just wore a mask for 45 days, everybody, and then it's gone and we can go, all right, let's get back to doing what we were doing. I get it, man. I get it that it sucks, man. But it's like, if you want any type of progress, you got to sacrifice something, man. You got to sacrifice something. And I just don't see. It's just so weird to me, man, that like these people who always cry about freedom have never really been oppressed at all in this country. This all these straight white dudes. It's like, when have you really, really had it hard in America? Like when were doors closed to you? I don't get it, you know. But you can look at all this police brutality, fucking just unfair hiring practices, you know, fucking hair standards, all type of shit, man, for black people in this country. And you tell people, hey, you got to suck it up. If you really want to work there, you'll do this. Hey, if you really want to be on that team, you'll cut your dreads you've been growing for 15 years. You know, just like this very nonchalant and cavalier about everybody else's backgrounds, beliefs, and all that kind of shit. And if you want to work there or be part of this group, then you need to lay down all your beliefs and this, that, and the third. But when it comes to them, you better not even think about asking them to give up anything to anybody else. But yet, somehow they love the military. And you got to remember, too, there's people in the military out at sea who can't go into port anywhere. Because the shit is still spreading. So you might think you love the troops and you support the troops, but you're really not. If you're going around as being a dickhead, there's people who can't come home because you won't wear a mask. It's really that simple. If you really cared about other people, and if you really care about you, you would just wear one. If you really want to get back to your life, just fucking wear one, man. Just wear it. I'm sick of this shit. I want to get back out there full time. I don't want to have to worry about wearing a mask ever again. I'm just ready to get back to my life. I think everybody is. And the thing is, they told us this in March. Hey, we're probably going to have another shutdown again this fall. They told us all this stuff. And here it is coming to pass. And you're still acting like you have no idea where this came from. No clue. Dude, my whole life, I've heard common sense isn't common. Now, all of a sudden, it's just like, well, we should let people make their own decision. I thought common sense wasn't common. Common sense says you should probably wear a mask, keep your hands clean, and keep your distance from people. That's common sense. But no, people don't want to do that shit, man. And it's funny, too. The same guys about complaining about the internet. Oh, man, everybody got a voice these days. Everybody don't need to have an opinion. But yet they still want like these frontline doctors and all these politicians who don't know shit about this virus running their fucking mouth on TV about shit they don't know about. I'm not a fucking doctor or a scientist. If they say wear a fucking mask, I wear a fucking mask. It's really that simple. And the thing is, you don't even have to go in anywhere. You're just being willfully ignorant, stupid, whatever the fuck you want to call it. You can get curbside. You can have them bring your groceries out, but you still got to bring your funky ass into the store with your big fucking beard like you some goddamn patriot. Like somehow you're going to get remembered in the annals of history as being this fucking patriotic person for America. And the thing is, you're not. No one gives a fuck about you. The only reason why I'm even talking to you right now is because you slowing down my motherfucking money, nigga. That's the only reason why I'm talking to you. But there's a show. That's a show. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy. Little bit of news to announce. I'm happy to say that I've signed on to do my first comedy album with Helium Comedy Records. I'll have it done in the first part of next year, God willing. I'm super excited. I don't know where I'm going to record it yet or, you know, who's going to be on the show. None of that, but I know it's happening next year. It's about time. I'm excited, and I can't wait to give you guys more information. I'm trying to figure out some cool ways to market this thing and really try to sell a lot of these fucking albums, man. So be on the lookout for that, and that's it. I'm out. Peace.